Vayikra. Parsha Vayikra. So everyone makes the comparison between Vayikra by Moshe and Vayikor Elokim El Bilam. That Vayikra is written by Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not going to go into the small aleph, although the small aleph also is something over here. And Vayikor by Bilam. By Bilam it says the word Vayikor. So the reason why it's called Vayikra here, Daniel, if you can, hand this out to everybody who comes in. But anybody who knows what Vayikra means, and no, it's called, no, stand right there. Sit right there, that's fine. It's called Derech Chiba, an invitation that has permanence. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch was inviting Moshe, but Vayikra El Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav. He's inviting him in, he's saying, come to me right now, and God spoke to him, Me'ol Moe Lamor. That's the idea behind it. A Lashon of Malachim, when did the Malachim use the word Vayikra? Bekara Zeh El Zeh V'yamar. They call out to one another to come. They call out to one another, and they say to each other, you should come to us now. That's the word Vayikra. It's permanent. It means that you're coming. The point of such a kriya is for achana and for azmana, to invite somebody in and to prepare a person. Because for anything kadosh, whenever you want to do anything holy, you got to prepare for it. In order for it to be worth anything, you have to prepare for it. You can't just run into Yom Kippur, run into Kol Nidre, just be like, all right, I'm ready to go. That doesn't happen. You have to prepare yourself for it. That's why we don't do Nisana Tokef in the beginning of the day. You got to get yourself ready for Nisana Tokef. They do it sort of like right in the middle to know what that Tokef Hayom is. In order for it to be worth something, you have to prepare. That's Vayikra. He's calling out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, now I'm going to be able to speak to you. The Chiddush Yarim brings down that if you fasted 100 days in a row, even if you fasted 100 days in a row, it would mean absolutely nothing if you didn't prepare beforehand. If you did nothing beforehand, if you didn't do anything beforehand, you just fasted, then you're Gandhi. I mean, he's a great guy, there's nothing wrong with him, but that's not what we're trying to do for Kedusha. For Kedusha, you have to get yourself ready, prepare yourself to be Makabel, Ol Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven, and when you do that, then all of a sudden something can come, then something can happen. Rick Shore says that's only one side of Kriya. One side of Kriya is to bring you so close that now you're Rohi, now you're ready to enter the Beis HaMikdash, now you're ready to enter the Ol Amoy. But the truth is, no one is Rohi for such an assignment on their own. Nobody can do that, have that closeness with God, unless Hashem, I guess you could say, He chooses you. And He says, and that's Vayikra, I'm choosing you and bringing you close, the process of God bringing you close to Him. That's one point of Kriya, and that's one part of Vayikra. There's another point of Vayikra, another idea. When people start to give up, hope, and they're like, that's it, I'm out, I've got nothing left. They don't realize what their own kokos are. They think to themselves, I can't do anything anymore. I've lost my will to live, I've lost my will to do anything, I'm done because I've got no strength left. I've got nothing left, and what am I supposed to do? They think that that's really it. There's no point to them davening, there's no point to them learning, God isn't listening to me, God doesn't care what I have to say, God doesn't care what I do. God really doesn't have anything to do with me. When a person has that yush, a kriya vayikra is his orus. It's an awakening. When a person wakes himself up and something tells him, in some way, shape, or form, it could be the form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu, or it could be in the form of just another person talking to you, saying to you, you can do it, you can get to the highest madrigos, stop this, it's only the Yetzer Hara that's destroying you. Just get yourself up from that, as they call it, a spiritual slumber, to be Chazikyu. Vayikra is the gematria of 317, the same gematria as Yush. The exact same gematria as Yush. Because if you want to get rid of your Yush, you want to get out of your Yush, you have to have the Vayikra, you have to have the kokos, you have to have the power to be able to get yourself ready for it. That is, this Vayikra is the koch that fights against Yush, that can destroy Yush. So there's a famous Rashi over here. Only by getting yourself ready for something. Calling out to you, somebody calling out to you and saying, we care. Somebody saying something to you, that even no matter how it goes, just somebody saying something to you of, hey, how's everything going? That could be a kriya. Anything that you can take as an incentive to raise up your level. That's the idea behind destroying the yish, aside from getting yourself prepared for the kedusha that's involved. Rashi mentions such an unbelievable thing over here. Such an unbelievable thing. He says, by the whole Vayikra thing, me'ohel moed, that the kriya was made, may oho moed lemor. Says Rashi, melamed shaya kol nitzak v'la yotzechut lo'el. The kol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the voice, went up until the door of the oho moed, the door of the Mishkan, and then it stopped. If you were standing right outside the door, you wouldn't be able to hear the voice. It'd be ke'ilu, somebody stands right outside that doorway, and even though it's open, they still don't hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu only went in with the oho moed itself.
Like soundproof glass.
See, but it's open. Yes, well, like soundproof glass, although it's wide open. So says Rashi, Yochel Meshakol Namoch. Maybe because God was whispering. Maybe it's because God was just being quiet and He didn't want to be loud, and that's the reason why. Talmud Lomar Esakol, the voice. Mahu Akol, Hu Akol Misparish Betelim. This is the call that we say in Tehillim. It's a Mizmor Chavtes, Kol Hashem Bakoach. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done with strength. Kol Hashem Bahadur, it's done with splendor. Kol Hashem Shover Arazim. It breaks cedarwood. You ever broken a cedarwood? God's voice has. And that's how strong the voice is. The voice is such an unbelievably strong voice. And yet it still stopped right when it got up to the door of the Ol Moed. Came up to the door of the Ol Moed when it was about to go out, it stopped and nothing went further. Nothing went further than the Ol Moed itself. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the question. It said, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Yortzeit is this week. I don't remember exactly when. It's coming soon. Oh, Tanis Esther. Yeah, Tanis Esther. So it'll be a Shabbos, a week from this Shabbos. Tanis Esther is the... That's when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away. He passed away in Tanis Esther. Rav Moshe asked... What? The funeral was on. Yeah. So Leviah was on. That's when it was Tanis Esther. I believe he died earlier that day. What's the point of screaming loudly if you can't be heard? What in the world is the point of that? I mean, if you know your voice isn't going outside of the Ol Moed anyway, why have that voice that's extremely loud with so much call? What would be the point of that? I mean, wait, you're in a room that's completely soundproof and there's no one else there and you're trying to call out to the guy on the outside. Screaming as loud as you can is not going to work. It's soundproof, and God knows that it's soundproof. So what's the point in screaming out loud so that Moshe Rabbeinu is like, okay, stop. Well, what would be the point? Just say it quietly so that Moshe Rabbeinu can only hear it, and that's that. The same question is asked regarding a bas kol. We went through a vort regarding this before, but a bas kol. There's a bas kol that goes out every time before a boy is born. Before the boy is born, it says, bas ploni leploni. The daughter of this man should be married to this guy. Daughter of this guy should be married to this guy. Has anybody heard that bas kol? If you haven't heard the bas kol, what's the point of it? What would be the point of such a bas kol?
But it's not, that's you're humanizing mm-hmm. a voice of God. Meaning, mm-hmm. when it's saying that the voice was coal, or this coal that would break cedar, mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that it was loud.
He says, Yachol Shaf Mitne Shakol Namoch, I would think because the coal is low. No, Talmud Lomar, that it's HaKol.
Yeah,
what's HaKol? The one that's strength.
Rashi's humanizing God's voice of...
Well, that's how we have to understand it, right?
That's no, the question of whether or not it had to be loud for Moshe, it's not loud. It's not the issue of it being loud.
Either way, why is it done b'koach if it's not going outside the Ol Moed? That's the question. Either way, no matter how, if you call it loud. Either way, it's not going to answer the bas ploni leploni thing either. Anyway, you have a bas kol that goes out every day that says bas ploni leploni. What in the world is the point of that bas kol if nobody can hear it? Nobody hears it, nobody knows what they're doing, and then all of a sudden you get married, mazel tov, everything's all good, and you find out later on, all right, I guess it was bas ploni leploni. I guess that was the person. What is the point of such a bas kol? What is the point of such a thing? Okay, here's what he says. Ramosha says, if someone wants the kol kocho with all of his strength, if you want to have all the strength to hear what God is telling you, if you want to hear what God is trying to tell you, you'll get siyata d'shmaya, you'll have the help of shamayim to hear it yourself. It's loud enough that if anyone wants to hear, they'll hear it. It's being screamed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if anybody outside the Ol Moed says, I really want to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if they really, really want it, if it's really there, if they truly want to, they will hear it. They will be able to hear it. But not everyone picked up on that. It was that nobody wanted to hear it that badly. Everybody said, like, okay, it would be great, but they remember what the voice sounded like in Har Sinai. What happened in Har Sinai when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them? They died. They died not once, but twice, and they're chiyas amesim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't take the voice. The voice was too great for them. They couldn't take it, so they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you speak. You speak instead of us. And they didn't want to hear God's voice again. They wanted to hear Moshe Rabbeinu telling them everything. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you the ability to hear me any day. I'm giving you the ability to listen to my voice whenever you want. You can pick up on it if you want, and if you don't, then just know it was available for you and you didn't take it. That's the idea behind it. If you truly want to, you're going to be able to. Very similar to a story. The Baal HaTanya with the Tzemach Tzedek. This is one of the best stories I've ever read. Baal HaTanya once wrote a sefer, and the sefer was absolutely full of Kabbalah. Unbelievably full of Kabbalah. Everything you can imagine is in the sefer. And he told his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, I don't want you ever reading the sefer. If you read the sefer, I'm putting you in cherem, and you have no chelek in Olam Haba. That's what he told him. No chelek in Olam Haba for reading the sefer. He didn't feel the Tzemach Tzedek was ready. Okay. There was a fire in the Baal HaTanya's library. There was a fire in there, and it burned a bunch of manuscripts that he had. a bunch of different manuscripts. One of the manuscripts that was burned was this sefer with all the words of Kabbalah, all of that. So he calls in the Tzemach Tzedek. And he says to him, quick, tell me everything you learned from that sefer. I want to rewrite the sefer, but I'm not so sure if I remember everything. Tell me what you learned from the sefer. Tzemach Tzedek looks at him and says, Rebbe, he told me I couldn't read it. I never read it. How could I read it? I would have lost my chilek in Olam Haba. The Baal Tanya looks at him and says, and it wasn't worth it? That wasn't worth it to be able to read that? This is the unbelievable words of Torah. And you didn't want to lose your chilek in Olam Haba for this? Like, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is coming from the Mishkan at any point in time. And if you want to, you can listen to it, but it may cost you your life. And it's not worth it? It's not worth being Moser Nefesh to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice again? That's the line. That's the line that Ramosh is saying. But nobody wants it. If you really wanted to, you wouldn't be able to hear the Basco that comes out from beforehand. That's kind of impossible. You wouldn't be able to hear it yourself. But if you really want to, you can figure out what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants with you. You may not have heard it, but you know it went out. If you know that Basco went out, that Bas Ploni Laploni, you could be machazik yourself. And you can say to yourself, my Truba shirt is there. My Truba shirt is the one that I'm married to. Because this Basco already went out. The Basco said who I was supposed to marry. And I did it, and I took care of it, and everything's all good. That's the concept, that the voice is being set out, and even if you don't hear it, you know it's there. That's also the reason why our neshamos, our souls, have to be present at Har Sinai during Matan Torah. I mean, what do you remember being at Har Sinai? Nobody remembers that. Although you should know, the great Rebbe, the Apta Rebbe, said he remembered who he was standing next to at Har Sinai. That's pretty crazy. That you don't see very often. There's a couple of them. The Apta Rebbe also, I think it was the Apta Rebbe who said that he still has a mark on his shoulder from a hit that Yaakov Avinu gave him with a whip when he was one of the sheep of Yaakov Avinu. That's crazy stuff. When you get to the Hasidic Rebbe's of the early 1800s, you don't ask any questions. You say, like, shkach. That's that. By the way, the Neshamos were present in our Sinai. What would be the point? If I don't remember it, then what's the point in saying that we were there? The answer is that if you know you were there, if you know you heard it, that makes it more chumer to you. Even though you don't remember it, you know you were there. You know you were present for it. That means that you can actually say, I was there, I just don't remember. It makes it more chumer. It makes it like I can't break it. I can't go against it. That's the concept. That's the idea that we're trying to bring across. Okay. Give out this sheet that has a bunch of korbanos on it. We're not going to go through the whole sheet. This whole sheet should have every type of korban that is mentioned in the parsha. I left out two things at the very, very end of the parsha on purpose. Yeah, you just finished talking. So, on Daf Yomi. Oh, perfect. This sheet has over all the different things. Just very quickly, there are three types of olas mentioned in this pasuk. Bukar, that means cattle, sown sheep, that's sheep or goats, and then birds of an ola. All of them, the olas that are animals are males. And what they do is they're brought in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're shechted, the blood is put around the Mizbeach, and then afterward they are burned entirely on the Mizbeach. And they're brought, why? As a kapara, for any mitzvah asay that one did not do, or lava nitik lasay. You didn't wear tefillin one morning, you go ahead and you bring a korban ola. If you could afford it, you brought a bucker. You couldn't afford it, you brought a sheep. You couldn't afford that, you brought a goat. Couldn't afford that, you brought a bird. That's the korban ola. The korban ola is, you brought all those things, they were burned in that way, and it was done for a mitzvah asay that one didn't do. You didn't wear tzitzis, you didn't wear tefillin, you didn't do any mitzvah, whatever the mitzvah say is, that's what you get. A mincha is a flower offering. The Korban Omer was also is the chadash, the Omer, the offering that was brought in the 16th of Nisan of the new grain. What you did with the mincha was, very simply, you had a bowl full of flour that you put together. With these minchas, there was shemen and lavona, oil and frankincense, and a little bit of salt. They used to pour salt on every korban, and they would do something called kmitza, in which they would put their hands, they would have three fingers, and they go straight, pull up the flour like this. They would shave off the stuff on the top with their thumbs and the stuff on the bottom with their pinkies. This is called the kmitza. The kmitza is put inside right there, and they put the kmitza on top of the mizbeach. They burn it on the mizbeach. The rest of the flour is eaten by the kohanim. That's what ended up happening by a regular mincha, a korban mincha that was brought. Why did you bring it? There were three different types. There was matet tenor, marcheshes, machvas, different types of pans and stuff like that. A mincha is also brought depending on the situation. Not as a korban. It's a korban that a person would want to bring. A person wants to bring on his own. That would be a mincha. Pasuk can be brought for a mitzvah, say, etc. What? No, shlamims include a lot of different ones. The korban pesach is a shlamim, a peace offering. The korban todah is a peace offering. Those are different types. They're not mentioned in this week's parsha. But the shlamims that are mentioned here are the cattle, the lamb, and the goat. Basically the exact same thing. The fats, the kidneys, and the livers are burned. The rest is eaten by you. Some of it is given over to the kohanim. The shok and the chaza, the chest and the shok, the right leg is given over, the right thigh is given over the kohen for the kohen to bring. And the reason why you bring a shlamim is it's a nedava. You can bring whatever you want, whatever you want to do. That's the shlamim. That's the korban shlamim that goes through all of Perek Gimel. Perek Dalet starts the chatos. Things that you did if you did something wrong. First it goes through the chatos of a general tzibor, chatos of a kohen gadol. If a kohen gadol does something wrong, if he made a major mistake and paskined incorrectly for the people, then he brings a korban chatos, which is a par. It's brought in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a whole process with the blood, sprinkling it. And the thing with the chatos kohen gadol, the fats, the kidneys, and the livers are burned on the mizbeach. The rest of the cow is not eaten by anybody, and it's not even brought in the Beis HaMikdash. They bring it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and they burn it out in the fields outside the Beis HaMikdash. By the chatos of the kahal, if an entire kahal paskins incorrectly, if everybody paskins the wrong halacha, they also bring a par. Same process. They bring it outside the Beis HaMikdash. They do not burn it inside the Beis HaMikdash. Such a mistake. And the final one is the chatos nasi. It says asher by the chatos nasi, that if the leader makes a mistake, a melech or a nasi of Klal Yisrael, if he makes a mistake, a little bit different regarding the sprinkling of the blood, but other than that, again, it's burned outside the Beis HaMikdash. The fats and the kidneys and the liver are burned on the Mizbeach. Everything else is burned outside the Beis HaMikdash to show you how chomer this is to make such a huge mistake. A chatas yochid, that's the other part. The chatas yochid over here could either be a goat or a lamb. Both are female. Chatas, by definition, is a female. It's brought in the same place that the ola is. The fats are burned on the Mizbeach. The rest of it is eaten only by the kohanim. You are not allowed to eat the chatas, and it can only be eaten in the walls, within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why you bring a chatas is any lav that you would have been chayiv kares, have you done it b'mezid, have you done it on purpose, you would have been chayiv kares. If you do it b'shogi, you do it by accident, then you bring a korban chatos. So for example, if you would be chayiv in, let's say, for Shabbos, and you were over on a malacha of Shabbos, you were over on a lav, then you'd bring a korban chatos. That's what you'd bring it for. Another lav, if you ate chalev, you ate fats of an animal that are usher. Some fats are mutter, certain fats are usher. The fats around the kidneys and around that area, around the innards, those types of fats are usher. If you eat that, your chayiv kari is bemazed. If you do it b'shogi, you do it accidentally, then you're only going to be chayiv a, what's it called? You're only going to be chayiv a korban chatos only. Yeah, it's only a couple $100 for a goat or a sheep. Not that big of a deal, right? But either way, both have to be female, that's a chatos. Then comes the asham. The asham is at the end of the parsha. The asham is a guilt offering. It's specifically brought for really three different sins. If I don't testify for somebody I was supposed to testify for, I knew testimony and I refused to testify. If I ate something while Tameh, or I went to the Beis HaMikdash while Tameh, either one of those things, if I swore falsely, or I swore, you know, so, like if I said, this table is really an ox, and I swear that that is so, then something like that, all those three things, you'd be chayiv, or really four things, you'd be chayiv a korban asham. The korban asham can be a lamb or a goat, and if you can't afford it, two turtle doves, or two pigeons, and if not that, then an asham, which is a mincha, which is a flower offering. Each one is a different thing altogether. The cool thing about the birds, we didn't go through them at all, is that you don't shech them. You do malik on them. You have your sharp nail. You sharpening your nail, you're a kohen. You got to get ready for it. An attachment, so you can go with the regular attachment. So then there are people that grow out their little nail, and it's not only for cocaine, it's also to be able to do maliko when the birds are there. You're supposed to cut straight. They sharpen the nail all the way through to be able to go through. That's the idea behind it. Just the thumbnail. I'm sorry? Yeah, so you can cut straight, but you can cut straight. It doesn't make a difference as long as you cut the two little things. It's good times. What? Oh, yeah, it's good times. Yeah. Yeah, you got to sharpen it. You got to keep your fingers sharpened at all times. And you squeeze it, right. And you take the regular blood, the first little bit of blood is put on the east side of the Mizbeach, and the rest of it is put on the other side. It's put on the yisod of the Mizbeach. I wrote it down somewhere around here. It's somewhere around on the wall of the Mizbeach, right over there. So that's what ends up happening. The rest of it is eaten by the kohen, unless it's an olah, the oaf, etc. Those are the types of things. So that's all the korbanos that are mentioned in this week's parsha. Olah, mincha, shlamim, chatos, and asham. Those are the only five types of korbanos that are mentioned in the Torah. Every other type of korban fits one of these categories. A korban musaf is an ola. A korban tamid, which is brought every morning and every evening, is an ola. Any a chagiga is a korban shlamim. A toda is a shlamim. The pesach is a shlamim. They fit into these categories. But it's one of these five. These are the five, and these are the general categories of what a person has to do. That's the idea behind it. That's the entire parshan. If you want to know where they are, those psukim are written right down over there. It pretty much takes up every pasuk in this parsha. There's a couple psukim that I didn't mention, a couple psukim that are dealing with other things like eating blood or other things that have to do with, but otherwise that's that. Rebbe Yashiv quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ila. It's a famous Rambam. Everybody should know, we've said this in previous years, it's Machlokas Rambam and Ramban about why we bring korbanos. The Rambam says to knock out Avodah Zarah because they used to worship goats and sheep and cows, and we show them that they're nothing, we give them to our God. That's the Rambam. The Ramban says, no, it's to be Moser Nefesh, to show it's as if you're dying. The korban is representing you. So instead of me being killed, the animal is being killed instead of me. And we get that from Yitzchak Avinu. Then Yitzchak Avinu, instead of Yitzchak Avinu, they brought the aisle. The aisle is brought tachas Yitzchak, instead of Yitzchak. So we see that the concept of a korban is to bring it instead of you yourself. But the Rambam, in another place, that was in Mori Nevuchim, where he said that it's for against the Avodah Zarah. At the end of Hilchos Me'ila, he says, korbanos are miklal hachukim heim. They are a chok. What does a chok mean? How do you translate a chok? Mitzvah without any reasons. Yeah, can't explain it whatsoever. It's a mitzvah, no sibus. We don't understand them. We have no idea why we have it. And the Satan says to us, why are you doing this? And we say, because God told me. God told me to do it. And that's it, and that's it. That's the only reason why we bring korbanos. Hold on a second. It's nothing like the other chukim in the Torah. I want you to think. Give me a chok that you know of in the Torah. A chok. Some other mitzvah. What? Tzitzit is a good chok. Tzitzit, right? Give me another one.
Paraduma.
Crazy one, right? Shatness. Basar b'cholav. I mean, all these things. Trefa is technically a chok. None of these things make sense to us, and we don't ask. Shabbos is a little bit different because Shabbos actually does have a siva because the Kodesh Baruch Hu rested on that day in theory. You know, we can, in theory, figure it out within that. But shatnez, chazer, why are we not allowed to eat pig? Basar b'cholav, things like that. Why are we not allowed to eat those things? The reason why is because they're chidushim and Har Sinai. Nobody would have ever thought to do them on their own. There is no one in the world that ever said to themselves, wool and linen, not a good combination. Let's keep the wool and linen out of my jacket. Everybody's like, the Hugo Boss, get it out. I don't want that suit. Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that Basar B'cholov is something that's wrong. There's no person in the world that understands milk and meat eaten together, cooked together, that being wrong. And even if it is, it's also to eat together. It's also to get benefit from Basar B'cholov. You can't even sell Basar B'cholov. How in the world is that so? Why in the world are you not allowed to do it? That's a choke. Because B'nai Noach, other people in the world, non-Jews, would never do them. But korbanos, non-Jews do them. What? This can't be a regular chok, because non-Jewish people have always brought korbanos. Adam Rishon brought a korban. Hevel and Kayin brought korbanos. Noach brought a korban. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Paro and says, we want to go outside and sacrifice to our God for 3 days. And Paro says, fine. He doesn't ask, what do you need to do korbanos for? He doesn't ask, that makes no sense to me. Why would you sacrifice to a God with an animal? What would an animal do to God? He doesn't ask such questions. We even have a pasuk, ish, ish, to include non-Jews. If a non-Jew wants to bring a korban, you're allowed to accept a korban from a non-Jew. Why would they bring it if it's a chok? By definition, a chok means something we don't understand. Here is something that people understand. People get it. So why is this a chok? That's the concept over here. That's the question the Rebbe Yashiv asked. That is an unbelievable question. And he answers absolutely brilliantly. Absolutely brilliant. This is an unreal answer as to how a korban works. There's two types of korbanos. Two types of different types of korbanos. Everyone understands Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov means you give a gift to someone who helped you. Somebody helps you, somebody invites you over for something, you give them a gift. Even if the person won't necessarily benefit from that gift, people bring me wine all the time for coming for Shabbos. I tell them before, and don't bring me anything, because it's going to go to waste. I don't drink wine, and it's not going to happen. It's just not going to do well. I mean, it does do well for Purim, but it doesn't go, yeah, not for me. But you don't benefit from that sort of thing. But still, people feel the need to do Hakaras HaTov. You invited me over for, you know, for a meal. You invited me over for something, so I'll give you something for it. I'm going to give you some type of a gift. That's the concept of Hakaras HaTov, and everyone understands that. Korbanos by the other nations of the world is in that category. That's what it means. They're Megashem God. They look at God as if He's physical. They think that He wants animals, that He wants these animals to be sacrificed to Him, and we need to give it to Him to show our appreciation, even though it's inadequate. Granted, it might not be ready for, you know, it's not the greatest thing I could have given to God, but I have to give something, so I might as well give this. That's the concept that the non-Jews have when it comes to bringing a korban. By Matan Torah, we were told differently. We were told to bring korbanos for another reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Lama li rov zivcheichem. Why do I need all your korbanos? It's told over to Yeshaya. Why do I need all your korbanos? I don't need a number of korbanos. I don't need them at all. Korbanos should be about you. It should be about your mesiras nefesh, about your willingness to give up of your money, your time, and everything you have, as if you're giving up your life to me. That's what a korban should be. It shouldn't be a gift to me because you feel bad, you think you owe me something, says God. It should be because you feel, you want to see yourself go up in flames. You feel that your sins are terrible and you want to forgive, you want a forgiveness. You want forgiveness from this korban. That's the concept, a willingness to be moser nefesh and to give up yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the aisle after Yitzchak Avinu was moser nefesh. Yitzchak was moser nefesh to God to allow himself to be a korban. We bring an aisle in his place. That's the concept of what our korbanos are, and that's only shayach for us. Only Bnei Yisrael can bring a korban as mesiras nefesh, because we're the only ones who are commanded to be moser nefesh for God. No other nation in the world is commanded to give up their lives to believe in God. They're not commanded that way. To be make a kiddush Hashem is only us. We're the ones. Benikdashti besoch Bnei Yisrael is the pasuk. It's not among other people.
Even those from Shabbat mitzvah Bnei Noach.
Even the Shabbat mitzvah Bnei Noach. Even though you have to keep the Shabbat mitzvah Bnei Noach. The concept of yarug v'al yavor, to let yourself be killed rather than be over on these mitzvahs, doesn't exist by non-Jewish people. It only exists by us. The concept of giving up your life for this Torah is only by us. And that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying. Why, the chok is the following. Why would God give us life in order for us to give it back to Him? To kill ourselves for Him? That makes no sense. That's the chok. With the concept of korbanos by us, of mesiras nefesh, of giving up your life for God, that is the chok. Why the animal works? Why in the world is it good enough to bring a goat? Why is it good enough to bring a little bit of flour? You brought a challah to the base of Mikdash, and it's like, oh, it's as if you just killed yourself for God. It's a pella. That's the chok, says the Rambam. That's the chok. So granted, you might have little reasons in between of what's happening behind the korbanos. But says the Rambam, the idea of what this is makes no sense for us in our category of why we bring korbanos. This was exactly Bilam's mistake when Bilam brought korbanos. He assumed that it was all about the quantity, because the guy who gives the most, the greatest gift, is the one who's looked at as the most special guy there. Everybody looks at him and says, wow, that's a doubt. Look at what this guy gave me. Look at that guy. It's like Shalach Manos. You look at your Shalach Manos when you get there on Purim, and you think to yourself, oh, the greatest Mishloach Manos. Look at this one over here. This is so special. This is such an unbelievable Mishloach Manos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's so wrong. This is the Medrash. Bilam said, Avraham Avinu brought one korbanola, I'll bring seven korbanolas. He brought one son, I'm going to bring my son and my daughter, and I'll sacrifice them to you, God. I'm willing to give up my son and my daughter up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's such a crazy concept. I think you want more than that. I think you deserve more than that. Says God, that's not what I want. I don't want these things. I don't need these things. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about what you can do. And if you can have that mysterious message, then that's all there. But Bilam didn't have the heart for it. He didn't have the heart. He didn't want to give it the right way. And that he couldn't understand. He didn't understand. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Bilam. Now, you can understand the line from the Chiddush HaRim, which is what we're going to end with. By the korbanos of the Ola, there's Behemos and Ophos. Animals and birds. By each one it says, they're a reach nichoach, a sweet-smelling spice, a sweet-smelling thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't even know how to translate reach nichoach. It doesn't make any... It's such a thing beyond our comprehension. But it's a reach nikoach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Something that Kadosh Baruch Hu enjoys by bringing these animals. Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Echod amarba ve'echod amamit. It makes no difference how much you give or how little you give. Uvolvad she'chaven libo l'shamayim. As long as you have kavana for shamayim, as long as you give it for the right reasons, I don't care how much you give. You can give the littlest amount, and as long as it's for me, it's all good. That's that. Says the Chiddush HaRem. But if they're both mechavim l'shamayim, they both had kavana l'shem shamayim, right? Wouldn't the guy who brought more then be better? Think about it. They both have the right intention. One guy brought a cow, the other guy brought a bird. Wouldn't you think the guy who brought a cow is better than the guy who brought the bird? I mean, but they both have the same kavana. One guy...
Granted,
I understand that. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted the rich guy a cow. And he gave the poor guy a bird. And this guy brought only a bird, this guy brought only a cow, and their kavana is the same. In the heart, they meant they were thinking the exact same thing. So why wouldn't the marva be greater? That's the concept. So says the Chiddush HaRem on Moshel. And you didn't quite get the Moshel. And as you go through it, really, the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. There's two merchants that travel to a city. Two merchants are traveling to a city. One goes straight, gets to the hotel with a couple extra days, sits and rests in the hotel until the day comes where he's supposed to go to the shuk, or to go to the marketplace. The other guy goes on the scenic route. He goes around, he goes this place, that place, whatever it is, and he just checks out other things, goes, gets to the city a little bit later, and then he gets to the hotel right before he has to leave. Says the first guy to the second guy, I don't get it. Why'd you come late? I've been waiting here for a while already. I've been sitting here resting and getting myself ready for the shuk. But you didn't get yourself ready for the shuk. You didn't prepare yourself. You didn't get anything good. And the second merchant answers, what's the difference? The ikkar is to be here, and I'm here. I'm here on time, I didn't come late, and everything's all good. So that's the Chiddush HaRem, that's his answer to the question. Vilvad she'chaven libo l'shamayim means the point is to be there at the very, very end. Sfasama says, the ikkar is to concentrate on God in the right way. In the end, everyone is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone in the end goes to the same place. If they're on the same level at the end, it really makes no difference how you get there. Because at the end of the day, you're not in that state that you were in 2 days ago. It doesn't matter really what happened yesterday or the day before that, because it's already over. At the end of the day, if I make myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who cares how I got there? That's over with. I'm not thinking about that anymore. It's like a person at the end of his life. You think he cares that 12 years earlier somebody made fun of him? You think when he goes up to Shemaim he's trying to find that guy that made fun of him, trying to hit him in the face? So like, I can't believe you made fun of me down there. He could care less. He got up to Shemaim. What other thing does he need? What else does he care about? That's the pshat. Echad amarba ve'echad amam bevavad she'chaven libo l'shamayim means, if you have kavanah libo l'shamayim, your kavanah is l'shem shamayim, it makes no difference what you give. What might happen? What is a kadosh baruch? Okay, it doesn't matter. Because in the end, you're going to the same place. That's the concept. It doesn't matter what you gave, even if the guy who gave more might be considered a more chashuv of a person. Makes no difference because in the end you're in the same place. That's the concept. The summary, Kriya is not only to call you in and prepare you, but it's also to uplift you if you get it in the proper way. Number two, if you listen hard, you can hear it. You can hear the bas kol. If you listen hard, you can listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Rashi was trying to say. Korbanos have two purposes. Hakaras HaTov, that's how those other nations of the world look at it, and Mesiras Nefesh, of our way of looking at it, of giving up our lives for God, and Echad Amarba, the Echad Amamit, whether you do a lot, the ikkar is to come to the place where everybody is, and then you have this sheet, you can keep this sheet if you want. Have a good Shabbos.